Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, October 23rd, 2025, 10:23:25. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. Always good to be with you. A brisk but nice morning. I do have to report that yesterday, for the first time this season, I did have to turn on the furnace. So if you're keeping a bingo card or a calendar or whatever you have, mark it down. On the 22nd of October, I finally had to turn on the furnace. You know, getting up in the morning to take a shower before I come here to the station, I hope you appreciate the fact that I take a shower before I come here, or at least appreciate that for the guest we might have in the studio from time to time, that when I get up in the morning and it's 64 degrees, 63 degrees in the house, I think it's time to turn on the furnace. So I did that yesterday, and it's nice, you know. It's nice, and it's not toasty. I don't keep it on toasty, but it's certainly warmer than 63, 64 degrees in the morning when I get up. Do want to remind everybody to come join everybody for Kids Night Out at the 95 Kroger. That's coming up Monday night, October the 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some fun games and spooky prizes. They will also be collecting new, gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. That's Kroger Kids Night Out, Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m., Ghost and Goblins Galore. And again, that's the Route 95 location here in Marion. So there's that bit of housekeeping. Well, we talked about the fallout from the League of Women Voters Tuesday night debate, candidates night, whatever you'd like to call it, yesterday morning. If anybody has anything to say about that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. But one thing I wanted to do here this morning, as we start the program, on Tuesday night, we had an interview, 10:15 p.m., with Dr. Amy Acton. It was an exclusive interview. It was a live interview after the League of Women Voters event. And again, I have put this interview online, and for whatever reason, just like Friday's interview, it seems to bring out a lot of discussion amongst people. But I know a lot of people have not had the chance to hear this interview, so I'm going to play this interview to start the morning this morning, and then we can talk about it, and we'll have the whole second hour as well. We'll have some time left this hour. But here is the interview as it ran in its entirety with Dr. Amy Acton, Tuesday night on this station. Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday night, October the 21st, 2025, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio, and we are so glad tonight to be joined via telephone by the Democratic candidate for governor. We've wanted to have her on for a long time. She joined us for a brief interview last Friday morning, and tonight she has graciously come back to discuss her life and times and what she wants to do as possibly the next governor of the state of Ohio, Dr. Amy Acton. Dr. Acton, how are you?
Good, Scott. Thank you so much for having me back.
Good to have you back with us. Wanted to start off here talking about your childhood tonight. A lot of people wonder where you came from. You've talked about being from the Youngstown area. What was it like growing up?
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm definitely an Ohio girl. I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. Had a pretty rough childhood. Lot of neglect, a lot of abuse. Frequent flyer of children's services. Actually lived in a tent in the middle of winter, but still went to school. And finally, at the age of 12, my brother and I were removed from that situation. And we moved literally a mile away, but we stayed in one school for the next 6 years. I actually got in med school right out of high school, an accelerated program here in Ohio. And, you know, my life got so much better. But as I often share with folks, a lot of the reasons for my almost 40-year career now being a doctor and everything I'm doing now running for governor really come from that childhood and the feeling of not wanting to look the other way. You remember when you're growing up as a kid when people do look the other way, but I mostly remember the people in life who didn't. And I've always been haunted by the kids who are left behind, who are just as smart and just as nice. And Scott, if I could just say, you know, whenever I'm saying my story personally, I often think that I'm never the only person in a room that saw a thing or two in their childhood. You know, up to 50% of our kids are living in poverty in parts of the state, some places even higher. And so I know I'm not alone. But, you know, I really, really feel that we're living in a time where maybe not all kids will get the same opportunities I had, and a lot of my work is based on that.
You know, not to be too personal about this, but a lot of people go through, as you said, things when they're younger. What sort of abuse did you go through as a child?
You know, we were very poor. We moved a lot. There were times we didn't have heat. There were times we didn't have food. I actually lived in a tent in the winter, as I said, and that, you know, clearly is not a normal thing. A lot of physical and sexual abuse as well, sadly. And it's actually one of the reasons I'm so passionate, and I've actually been calling out my opponent to join me in asking for the full release of the Epstein files, because, you know, I think, you know, one of your jobs as governor is to keep people safe and well. My whole career has been fighting on issues like this, and I think it's just so important that we don't look the other way when we see bad things. It's so important to take a stand, and this is where that comes from, at least for me.
Being a victim of sexual abuse and homelessness, how did that impact you personally? How does that make you think when you're just doing your normal everyday activities?
You know, I think one of the things that I keep sharing with people is when you're a kid like that, you notice when adults look the other way. You notice that it's hard for them. And now that I'm older, obviously I'm almost 60 years old, I think a lot about the fact that it probably wasn't that people didn't care. It's just it's too overwhelming. You don't know what to do about something. And I think a lot of people feel that way right now. We're living in a time where we're seeing a lot of things that are overwhelming. People are feeling overwhelmed by the cost of life, by sort of the chaos and the hate and the vitriol they're seeing, but they don't know what to do about it. But what I often say to people is, I remember more the people who didn't look the other way. You know, the people who would pull my brother and I up on their front porch and feed us breakfast as we were walking to school on the north side of Youngstown because they knew we were hungry. And, you know, this is a big part of what made me be a doctor and then ultimately the type of doctor I am, which is preventive medicine and public health, trying to get out ahead of the really hard things for communities and in the case of my job as director of health, the whole state. You know, I've been trained to solve some of the wicked hard problems that affect our health and well-being and our prosperity across systems. And it's because, you know, I'm haunted by the kids I left behind. And I think that does change you. I think it makes you scrappy. I think a lot of times folks say, is she tough enough for this? And I think, you know, I didn't get through my childhood or work three jobs to get through med school. And do all the things I've done as a doctor, including around the world and some of the hardest conditions, you know, do what I did in COVID, do the things like raise a family and take care of aging parents if I wasn't tough enough. But I think way too often we keep mistaking kindness for weakness, and I see that as a huge mistake. And I do think a lot of my understanding of what people go through comes from my childhood.
After going through a childhood like that, and I'm not sure about if your parents are still with us, have you been able to make up with them, or is the relationship okay now?
I was removed from my mother at the age of 12, and that was the last I was to see her, and I don't know because she disappeared. My father did live long after that, but he has since passed. Of course, I'm almost 60 years old now, but I've had a lot of other people that have helped me in my life, and you know, we all don't get to pick the chance of our birth, you know, and that's so much of the important stuff we do in this life we have to do together. I often tell people, we gained 30 years life expectancy in the last century, but only 5 of those years came from everything I learned in med school. The other 25 years came from things that we have to solve together. It started out with clean water, safe food, child labor laws, traffic safety laws, the list goes on and on, public schools. You know, so much of what gives us our high quality life comes from our relationships, the people around us and the community around us. And you know, I really do feel that whether it's your birth family or not, so many people can make a huge difference. And I do feel so grateful even to this day for the people who helped lift me up.
Dr. Acton, so many people remember you from the pandemic, the director of the Ohio Department of Health at that time. You did the daily press conferences with Governor Mike DeWine. And a lot of people wonder, what was and is your current relationship with Governor DeWine? Was it a good relationship? Is it still a good relationship if you were to see him?
Oh, absolutely. I can't say enough. It was an honor and a privilege to work with the governor, and particularly to go through such a really hard time for all of us. You don't try to save 11.7 million lives, you know, and not fall in love with the people of Ohio and fall in love with all the heroes who really stepped up in what was, you know, such an unprecedented experience for all of us. The governor, I've continued to advise him over these years, talked to him not long ago, and I, you know, the important thing I think for folks listening is that what I travel the state everywhere. I've been on the road for almost 2 years, listening deeply, going places candidates maybe even haven't been in a while. And the thing is this, people everywhere are longing for public servants who solve problems instead of making them. They don't really care much what party you're in, to be honest, and we're seeing these record crowds that don't know party. What they want, you know, is you to work on the 95% of things that most Ohioans are talking about. It's not these extremes. It's not culture things. You know, I'm hearing people talk about costs and affordability. They're talking about child care and being able to afford a home, their energy bills going up, their health care costs going up, being able to age in place with dignity and being able to afford property taxes. The governor and I didn't agree on every issue, but we were both very, very, very dedicated to solving problems. And to that, and I will always say it was an honor and a privilege.
Dr. Acton, former Governor Celeste has endorsed you. You probably have a closer relationship to the current Governor DeWine than any of your opponents do. Do you think that he might endorse you in this race? And was he happy to learn that you were running for governor, even though you don't agree on every issue?
You know, I can say that... you know, Governor DeWine can best speak for himself. Yes, I am very honored to have been endorsed by Governor Dick Celeste. Ted Strickland has said he believes I will make the best governor We've had endorsements, a couple hundred now, and we've also been endorsed by people like Jim Pietro, a Republican. I think what is most important is I've had the honor of working with governors on both sides of the aisle. Many of the governors helped us during COVID. I don't know if everyone knows that. You know, it's a very, very unique job that you very much learn by both in for myself in my training. I've been trained to do this kind of work. I've worked, you know, back in the 90s with people on both sides of the aisle to solve hard problems like, you know, Betty Montgomery and Joanne Davidson. And, you know, the problem now, though, is back in the day, we used to argue about some stuff and come up with different ideas, but we'd always end up at the end of the day with a solution that you could actually take out and implement and help improve people's lives. I think working alongside Governor DeWine, I saw how very, very, very difficult it is because, you know, our state house isn't functioning the way it should. With the gerrymandering, with a lot of things happening, we're really not being able to as effectively solve the problems Ohioans need us to solve. And unfortunately, we've also seen a great deal of corruption. What people in Ohio are longing for is people to get back in there and start solving the problems of everyday life. So, you know, I'll work with anyone who's willing to do that.
When Governor DeWine heard you were going to run, was he happy about that or okay about that? Maybe not an endorsement, but was he, did he say anything?
I'm going to keep our conversation to us, but I can say that he continues to be someone I can go to and be very supportive. So, yeah, thank you for asking.
Yep, very, very interesting. One of the things in this race that's a big issue right now, the Republican Party has endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy, but the Democratic Party has not made an endorsement yet. Tim Ryan, we don't know if he's going to get in or not. He passed the date that he said he was going to make this announcement. How do you feel about possibly having a primary?
You know, what I can tell you, Scott, is I've been out here almost 2 years. I've been formally running for governor for the last 9 months. We've been so lucky. We keep seeing these record crowds. Everywhere we go, we've had a lot of endorsements, as I've mentioned. And I've stayed laser-focused on the people of Ohio, listening deeply, learning from everyone everywhere we go. And I'm very, very focused on my opponent, Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, this election, I think, is one of the most crucial we will face. And I'm running for governor because people in this state are struggling. They're doing everything right. But they can't get any breathing room. And unlike what my opponent says, he says folks are just not working hard enough. They're lazy. They're mediocre. That is not the Ohioans I'm meeting. I'm running because people are struggling. They feel unseen. And I refuse to look the other way while special interests and bad actors in the state house keep taking the state in the wrong direction on nearly every measure. And my opponent very much is proposing some of those same antics, and I'm focused on the people of Ohio.
If you had to describe Vivek Ramaswamy, your opponent, to somebody, how would you describe him?
You know, what I'm most focused on is the fact that, you know, as you mentioned before, I've lived a thing or two in my life, and I have a really strong sense from a lifelong career solving these issues of what people are struggling with. And, you know, what I notice in what is said by my opponent, that he just doesn't seem to understand what ordinary Ohioans are going through. I mean, right now, he doesn't even spend that much time in our state. He literally is everywhere else. He flies across Ohio in his private jet. To go from Columbus to Cincinnati or Columbus to Marion, and he's treating literally the state as a flyover state. He seems very, very, very focused on a lot of the same failed policies that have gotten us where we are in the state. We have gone backwards on nearly every measure, from health care to education. I'm very worried about his stances on schools. he literally has taken $10 million from a gentleman named Yoss in Philadelphia, who he $10 million into a PAC because this guy wants to end public schools as we know it. Public schools saved my life as a child. Many places in the state, that's all we have are public schools. I can tell you this is a unifying issue everywhere I go. Public schools are the center of our communities, our way of life. We actually invented public schools in the state. It was a contract that was made in inventing Ohio and the Northwest Territory. Every so many blocks of land were left for a public school because it was known it would improve our economy, it would improve our way of life, it would make us an educated citizenry. And actually, my opponent has literally said he will end school teachers' unions as he knows it. I'm very, very worried about his reckless claims around property taxes. We all know we need meaningful tax reform. We need immediate relief for folks, particularly through the homestead exemption, so that folks that are aging in place can stay in the homes they've been in their whole life. But the ideas and things he's putting forth, I think, will be very harmful for Ohioans and continue to move us backwards on nearly every measure.
You know, Dr. Acton, a lot of people support you. There was a new Newsweek poll out today for the audience listening that shows you within 3 points of Vivek Ramaswamy. I believe it had him at 50%, you at 47, and there's a 4.5 margin of error in the poll. So this is a neck and neck race. And there were a lot, of people who like you. I was at the No Kings rally here in Marion over the past weekend, covering the event. Ran into a gentleman. I said, "Who do you think should be the next governor?" He had very glowing things to say about you. But for the people who know you from the pandemic and only know you from the pandemic and say, "I don't like what she did," I'm sure you've heard this before, "the decision she made hurt my business," or "I don't like the way it was handled," what do you say to get those people to vote for you?
Well, you know, I'll start first, as you mentioned, what you're seeing in the polling. And, you know, I'm so honored. Everywhere we go, we keep seeing these record crowds. I can't say this enough. It does not know party. We're seeing tons of independents and Republicans. And there have been several polls that show just what you said. We're neck and neck race, but that I'm actually ahead of my opponent in independents, and Republicans are crossing over. What I can tell you is a bond happened during COVID. I have a very unique constituency that doesn't seem to know party. I have a voice because of something in a way people are attaching to me. It isn't typically political. You know, I'm a doctor. I'm not a politician. But I am a lifelong public servant. And, you know, I'm proud of Ohio. Ohioans in COVID flattened the curve. We saved a lot of lives in this state. We actually reopened earlier and got back to our lives faster because we took swift and decisive action. It took a lot of sacrifice from all of us, but the heroism in the state knew no bounds. I can't say this enough. I hear the stories everywhere I go, and I'm very, very proud of what Ohioans did. You know, I was a part of the very early emergency part of it, and I can tell you, Ohioans' first reaction wasn't the chaos and the hate and the vitriol that we see so much today. It was actually to help save one another, and it was an honor and a privilege to be a part of that.
Dr. Acton, two quick questions here, and then I'll let you go. I know you're very busy, and it's been long days as of late. You've told us a lot about yourself. We feel we know a lot about you, but what is something that we would be surprised to know about Amy Acton that you have not told us?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. Well, let's see. Right now, I am driving down the road as I'm speaking to you. I am coming actually from Cincinnati to Columbus. My husband is in the car. I would probably say I'd want people to know that I'm a pretty ordinary person. You know, my husband Eric is a 43-year elementary school public school teacher and a coach. He literally teaches at the same school he went to since he was 4 years old, and his mother still lives down the street. Together we have 6 kids, 2 grandkids. We have one on the way any moment now. So I'm very excited about that, our youngest, my daughter. And You know, we reached a point in watching just this chaos and hate and vitriol, hearing the stories that we are privileged to be hearing all over the state. It truly is a privilege to listen and learn deeply from Ohioans. And we just made this decision together that we couldn't look the other way. If there was something we could do to help begin to bring us all back together again. You know, this doesn't end. This, we've been going back for a while in the state, and it doesn't end just by electing one person. You're going to be seeing me doing a massive call to public service. We are going to go after gerrymandering again in 27, because gerrymandering is what's keeping a lot of great public servants from both sides of the aisle working in our state house to solve the real problems that 95% of Ohioans care about. I can't say enough. Everyone's talking about the same stuff, from healthcare costs to affordability to energy bills to aging in place. What we are facing right now, and this is why people like us are stepping forward, is that this is no longer about Republican or Democratic or independent person. This, right now, in our country and in our state, is about extreme power, special interests, and wealth versus everyone else. And it's absolutely, what I would say to everyone listening is, whatever it is you see that you can't unsee, it doesn't even have to be me, but whatever moves your heart, because I think so many of us feel paralyzed sometimes when we see a lot of the things going on around us, what can we do? But whatever it is that is moving you, whatever it is, grab a few people, bring them with you, and get to work on it. It will make you feel better. It will help pull us back together, because the number one thing that will save our democracy and help us heal in this moment is our relationships, and we can't afford to give up on one another. And I want to say that no matter how many billionaires come to take this state, I have absolute faith that the people of Ohio are going to say, collectively, in October and November of 26, and I hope they're out there very strong getting out the vote right now for November. Look, you cannot buy this state, you cannot buy Ohio, and you can't buy us. If enough of us do the right thing, we'll all get through.
Dr. Acton, quick final question here. If you were to win the gubernatorialship here in Ohio, you would be the first female governor in the state of Ohio. We have not had a female president. We have not had a female mayor elected here in Marion, Ohio. What does it mean to you to be a woman and possibly the first female governor of Ohio?
We are absolutely right, Scott. We have never elected a woman governor or a senator. We know that Nancy
Kaptur.
Hollis?
Oh, okay.
Yes. George Voinovich is lieutenant governor, served for 11 days. But look, Kansas has had, not exactly a blue bastion, has had three woman governors. One of them, Kathleen Sebelius, Don Gilligan's daughter from Cincinnati. Michigan looks like they're about to get their third. It's not about whether you're a woman or a man. What you have to be governor are four things that I think all people should be looking for. First of all, you have to be able to raise some money. We're very blessed. We've set records. We've had a record number of individual donors. We've seen more donors already than most candidates ever see running for 2 years statewide. You have to have a path to victory. We are in a very competitive race, and we have a very clear way to win this. You have to actually know how to do the job. I've been trained for this job. I've worked all the levers of government. I've worked alongside governors. But you, most importantly, you've got to care. You've got to care deeply about helping serve the people of this state, and that's what I think we need in a governor.
Dr. Acton, as we close this out, I just want you to finish this sentence real quick. Dr. Amy Acton is...
I am another ordinary Ohioan. I've spent my life and my work refusing to look the other way when I see things that I just can't unsee. The work you saw me doing so far serving Ohioans. I never intended to be on your screen every day, but there we were together. Honor of a lifetime to do that. And but you need to know this is the work I've done my whole life, just like the work you do your whole life. But if enough of us do the right thing, most of the time we're all going to get through. And I know what this state is capable of when we row together. And it will be an honor and a privilege to fight with you all to create the state where we are and having the best world-class education for every kid and workforce, the best health care in the state again, the best jobs. And nice things, like we could be the best park system in the United States. There's so much more we could be doing for one another when we do it together, and I'll be with you every step of the way.
Dr. Acton, I know you stay very busy. I'm so glad we were finally able to get together after some time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Scott. It won't be the last, I hope.
You're welcome here anytime, and I hope when
I'll
come to Marion,
there in person.
We can do it in person.
Thank you.
Dr. Acton, stay well. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye. Dr. Amy Acton, she said she would show up here and do the interview on League of Women Voters Night, and she certainly did. And that was the interview with Dr. Amy Acton from Tuesday night. I know a lot of people did not get a chance to hear it. We did post it on the social media page, and it seems to be getting a lot of reaction, as her first interview did on Friday. I think that was a little more in-depth. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. There it was, the interview with Dr. Amy Acton from Tuesday night. Why she is a lightning rod for people to make comments and feel very strongly in a positive way about and a negative way about, I'm not sure. And hopefully we were able to talk about that some in that interview. But does anybody have any thoughts on that interview? I thought we learned some things there that heretofore we did not know about her. And I was very interested at the No Kings rally to see, it was the gentleman who was in the wheelchair who had the American flag around him, say that he was all in on Dr. Amy Acton. Any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on the Dr. Acton interview? There she was, as it were, from Tuesday night. You know, something else that I thought was very interesting from that interview was the fact that she has stayed in touch with Governor DeWine, and that apparently they do talk, and it's not a bad relationship at all. You know, I think through the media and through conversations, people have made that out to maybe be something that it's not. And that's interesting on a lot of levels. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I thought that was a pretty good interview.
Yeah, did you get to hear it Tuesday night, or was that the first time?
No, this is the first time I heard it.
Good, I'm glad.
I kept sleeping, falling asleep, waking up, falling asleep. So I don't know too much about Thursday night.
Tuesday. So what do you make of Amy Acton?
I like hearing about her background, how, you know, she grew up, you know, and then with that hardship, you know, she grew up in, she was able to become a doctor, because that's something you have to really put a lot of dedication for a few years into doing, you know, and when somebody sticks with it and does it, especially when they don't come from rich families that can help them, you know, it's hard.
Now, is she somebody you could get behind for governor of Ohio?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Democrat anyway, but that doesn't mean I would always vote for a Democrat. But
well,
I like what I hear about her. Now, I haven't heard a whole lot from Ramaswamy, but did he grow up as a rich child? I know he's got a lot of money right now. I mean, Dr. What's her name?
Dr. Acton?
Yeah, Dr. Acton. Now, you know, I doubt if she's a poor, her and her family are poor, but I guarantee you they're not going to build a 40 jet and fly around, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting to me because I wanted to play this morning. Number one, because a lot of people did not get a chance to hear it Tuesday night because it was after 10 o'clock. But there was a new poll out, and I mentioned it there, Tuesday morning from Bowling Green. And it puts her at 47%, Ramaswamy at 50%. And that's a plus or minus of 4.5%. That's the margin of error. Now, in a primary race with Tim Ryan, it puts Acton ahead 50 to 41%. So, you know, she's doing a lot better than Democratic candidates for governor have done probably since Rich Cordray in 2018.
Well, plus she's a woman, so that's, you know, her being in it as close as that, you know, that's a plus.
Well, I think another thing from this poll that maybe, well, and also I do want to let people know they did poll about the Senate race, Brown and Husted, and that is an absolute dead heat with Brown 49%, Husted 48%. So that's very tight. And I also think that might help Acton being on the same ticket with Sherrod Brown. Their numbers are almost identical. He has 49%, she has 47%. So not a whole lot of difference there. And the other thing that people should really pay attention to that was put out in this poll, in February of this year, Donald Trump in Ohio had a positive approval rating of 6%, which is good. He was at 56%, I think. In April, he had an approval rating of negative 1. I believe he was at 49%. Now, in October, he's at negative 10% approval rating. So he has lost 16 percentage points since...
Tarrant County.
No, this is statewide. Statewide.
Okay.
Since February, 16 points from positive 6 to negative 10. Now, that certainly has to help a candidate like Acton and a candidate like Brown.
Well, nationally, he's in the high 30s. You know, people, you know, saying they approve of him. And that's way down from what he was when he got elected.
Yeah, but in Ohio, who voted for him, I believe he beat Harris in Ohio by 11%. For him to be a negative 10 approval rating in Ohio now, a year later, I mean, quite a fall.
Since you brought up Trump, there's a couple things I just want to know if you've seen or your listeners seen. Has anybody seen a picture of the White House lately?
You know, that has upset a lot of people, the destruction of part of the East Wing for the...
Without the proper channels to do it. If he done it and he went through the channels to do it, and more than him wanted to do it, and it passed, fine. But you didn't even go through any channels to do it. And the second thing I want to know, if you know, Donald Trump is seeking a $230 million settlement with the Department of Justice. Not going to court and do it. The Department of Justice is going to do a settlement with him. And he puts his cronies into the Department of Justice. And you know, they are automatically going to have to say yes or you're gone. Now, is there anything alarming about those two things to people? I don't know. Just what's going to happen to make people stand up?
Well, I think there's a debate going on, and to be factual about it, of course other presidents have done renovations at the White House. Truman put the balcony on. There were renovations done when Roosevelt was president.
That was done under the proper channel.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where the disconnect is on this. People, I don't know. There's a certain group of people that feels that he should not be able to do this at all. Other people are saying, why are you getting angry? Because renovations have happened in the past. Well, there were proper channels, and there usually was a group formed so that the integrity of the building was kept. So, you know, that's what this seems to be all about. Nobody's denying that the White House possibly needs a bigger room. I think a lot of people have said that. I think the biggest room at the White House seats 250 people. Apparently, they want more people. So, I don't think that's the argument. I think the argument is that it didn't go through the proper channels. And the argument also is that President Trump himself said there would be no damage or construction on the original structure.
Lie.
Well, but
I mean, do you think 150 years ago they talked about putting a ballroom on the White House?
Well, no, but I think it might be a different...
See, that's what he says. If you lie, how can you... This president has not been blatantly a liar that they'll, I forget how many thousands of lies on it, 26,000 lies I heard a while back that he said, you know, how can you believe him on anything? Do you want somebody like that managing your money? You want somebody like that teaching your kids? I mean, come on, you know, people. Wake up and start speaking out.
Well, you know, we'll find out at the ballot box. We'll see what happens this November, and probably a lot more importantly with our gubernatorial race, our Senate race, and a lot of other races across the country next November.
Getting back to Amy Acton, the only thing I was a little bit disappointed with is when you asked her if there was something we don't know about you already. I don't think she really answered that question good. I was hoping there was, you know.
Yeah, I think she went the route of, I'm a grandmother, I'm about to be a grandmother again, I'm riding down the road with my husband. I think her route was family life, I think is what.
Yeah. But that's something we all figured she probably is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what she would have. I like to ask that question because sometimes you get something very good. But her past being abuse and homelessness and growing up in poverty, you know, she's revealed a lot. So it's maybe there is nothing else. I don't know.
Well, I want somebody like that, you know, running a country that's used to having, you know, a few knocks in life instead of somebody that's had a golden spoon put in their mouth, like somebody we're just talking about. But
well, there is a contrast in candidates, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay,
hey, thanks for calling.
Talk to you later, Scott.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, 56 minutes past the hour here. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, please feel free. I think, as I said, it's fascinating to me that the Amy Acton interviews that we have done in the last week have brought such a response from people. And I'm not really sure what that is, but hey, it's America. You're free to give your opinion. And it's making for interesting conversation. And along with this new poll from Bowling Green, I certainly think it's making for interesting conversation. So the phone lines are open here. We've got about 4 minutes left this hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in if there's anything on your mind at all. We certainly would be glad to hear from you. And again, I do thank Dr. Acton for the time. She gave us 15 minutes last Friday, and then she gave us nearly a half hour on Tuesday night, and it was, you know, 10:45 by the time we got that interview done, which was live on Tuesday night. So, you gotta be thankful for that. Take the interviews when you can get them. Let's see. Well, I think there is an article about the League of Women Voters event Tuesday night. It's in the online, on the online edition of the paper today. I don't think it's in the actual paper edition. I haven't had a chance to read it, so I'm not exactly sure what it says. But I can't imagine anything from Tuesday night being all that... there wasn't anything in the 2 hours that I moderated that I felt was a jab or a negative comment or anything like that. I never felt like it got out of hand. I mean, in past years, there were certainly things said and fingers pointed and accusations made. I don't really think we had that on Tuesday night. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe people learned things instead of heard people arguing with each other, which would be the other thing. All right, we've got about 90 seconds left in this hour. Go ahead.
90 seconds? I got at least a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, love your city. Do you think that Robert Landon is paranoid?
I'm not sure. Why is that?
Well, there's a posting. I don't know how I get these notifications every time there's a posting and Marion needs a charter. But he's ranting and raving that he was cut off, and well, maybe the next hour we can get into it. And if you want, I'll copy it and send it to you. I don't know. It's starting to sound, you know, like he's paranoid about everything.
Well, yeah, we've only got about 50 seconds, so call back in next hour and we can discuss that.
Yep.
I haven't seen it, so yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so we will kick off the next hour with a continuation of this conversation. Sometime the clock just works against you. But again, anybody can call in 740-383-9944, and I'm not exactly sure what post our caller is talking about there, so maybe I'll take a look at that post during the break, and then I'll be more informed as we come back on the other side of the break, and we can discuss that amongst anything on your mind out there in listener land. But again, we thank Amy Acton for coming on Tuesday night, and I hope you enjoyed the replay of that interview. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity.